Chapter 30, Satan and Man at War. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. This enmity is not natural. When man transgressed the divine law, his nature became evil, in harmony with Satan. Fallen angels and wicked men united in desperate companionship. Had not God interposed, Satan and man would have entered into an alliance against heaven, and the whole human family would have been united in opposition to God. When Satan heard that enmity should exist between himself and the woman, and between his seed and her seed, he knew that by some means man was to be enabled to resist his power. Christ implants in man enmity against Satan. Without this converting grace and renewing power, man would continue a servant ever ready to do Satan's bidding. But the new principle in the soul creates conflict. The power which Christ imparts enables man to resist the tyrant. To abhor sin instead of loving it displays a principle wholly from above. The antagonism between Christ and Satan was strikingly displayed in the world's reception of Jesus. The purity and holiness of Christ called forth against him the hatred of the ungodly. His self-denial was a perpetual reproof to a proud, sensual people. Satan and evil angels joined with evil men against the champion of truth. The same enmity is manifested toward Christ's followers. Whoever resists temptation will arouse the wrath of Satan. Christ and Satan cannot harmonize. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Satan's agents seek to deceive Christ's followers and allure them from their allegiance. They pervert Scripture to accomplish their object. The spirit which put Christ to death moves the wicked to destroy his followers. All this is foreshadowed in that first prophecy, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Why is it that Satan meets no greater resistance? Because the soldiers of Christ have so little real connection with Christ. Sin is not to them repulsive as it was to their master. They do not meet it with determined resistance. They are blinded to the character of the Prince of Darkness. Multitudes do not know that their enemy is a mighty general warring against Christ. Even ministers of the gospel overlook the evidences of his activity. They seem to ignore his very existence. A vigilant foe. This vigilant foe is intruding his presence in every household, in every street, in the churches, in national councils, in courts of justice. Perplexing, deceiving, seducing, everywhere ruining the souls and bodies of men, women, and children. He breaks up families, sowing hatred, strife, sedition, and murder. And the world seems to regard these things as though God had appointed them and they must exist. All who are not decided followers of Christ are servants of Satan. When Christians choose the society of the ungodly, they expose themselves to temptation. Satan conceals himself from view and draws his deceptive covering over their eyes. Conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world, never the world to Christ. Familiarity with sin will cause it to appear less repulsive. When in the way of duty we are brought into trial, we may be sure God will protect us, but if we place ourselves under temptation we shall fall sooner or later. The tempter often works most successfully through those least suspected of being under his control. Talent and culture are gifts of God, but when these lead away from him, they become a snare. Many a man of cultured intellect and pleasant manners is a polished instrument in the hands of Satan. Never forget the inspired warning sounding down the centuries to our time, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our great enemy is preparing for his last campaign. All who follow Jesus will be in conflict with this foe. The more nearly the Christian imitates the divine pattern, the more surely will he make himself a mark for the attacks of Satan. Satan assailed Christ with fierce and subtle temptations, but he was repulsed in every conflict. Those victories make it possible for us to conquer. Christ will give strength to all who seek it. No man without his own consent can be overcome by Satan. The tempter has no power to control the will or force the soul to sin. He can cause distress, but not defilement. The fact that Christ conquered should inspire his followers with courage to fight the battle against sin and Satan.